Yep, so I'm sure they probably told you, but I just want to speak specifically on building accessibility.
Sure.
It came up during an SGA meeting,
mm-hmm.
and I thought, well, let's talk to
Absolutely.
Disability Services about
Absolutely.
It.
Do you have any questions specifically, or you just want to kind of open talk?
Let's have an open talk, and if
okay.
I have some more specific questions, I'll
sure.
let you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, we want to ensure accessibility across all our campus, you know, in multitude of ways. You know, we really address accessibility in terms of our office, you know, in terms of, like, in the class accommodations, like, we provide, you know, note takers if we can, or good technology to help with note taking. We offer for our deaf and hard of hearing students technology that helps them to be able to, you know, understand what's going on in the class, like an interpreter. If they don't know sign language, we give them like what we call CART service, CART, and basically it's like a transcription of what's going on in class. So we address all types of accommodations wherever we need. Some of our buildings are older buildings, and we've expanded and, you know, have bought more property as the university's grown over the years. And Dr. White is aware of this. She's given the okay to start looking for an outside audit to come in and just kind of do an audit of our physical campus to look at what needs to be updated. We did this audit approximately 12 years ago. Lots of things have changed since then. We've acquired more property, more buildings, and so we just want to do an accessibility audit that will be upcoming. We're in the midst of trying to get that started now.
So when you say upcoming, is that within the next few months or a few years?
It would be in the upcoming months. I do not expect it to be in the upcoming years. No. We have to then, you know, contact. There's only a couple companies in the United States who even do this. So there is one in Nashville who did do it back 12 years ago. That was when the first audit was done. We have to get, you know, what their cost will look like, and are they willing to even do it again? You know, so we are in the midst of contacting them at this time. Our ADA coordinator is in charge of getting that negotiation started with them. So, but we, you know, we want to ensure accessible access to all of our campus. And we've made some small steps even. Just the small steps have even done better. Recently, you know, we have a great relationship with our housing and dining. And so, communication with Housing and Dining and Chartwells, who they've made some small little changes. If you've been into Chick-fil-A, you know what I'm talking about, where the little, you know, the kiosk thing, there was a lot of those ropes there, but I had a conversation with them about this would be a little difficult for a wheelchair to roll through, you know, enter and exit. And so they had already made special plans to even get rid of those anyway, so that just made a great avenue of just go ahead and taking those down. They even moved a lot of the tables around. If you've been in the area there, in the food court where all those tables, they've kind of rearranged them, so wheelchair could roll through a lot more easier with no difficulty, with a big main aisle to go through there. A little easier for that. Also in Einstein's as well, they've got rid of those, a lot of those, you know, aisle ropes there to help with that as well. So ease of access, in big and small ways. I mean, we can make some small changes without, you know, having to bring in an outside auditor. We just know how we can just think differently.
What do we do currently in terms of accessing older buildings? Because sometimes a student might be in a wheelchair but have
sure.
a class in that building.
Absolutely. So, and this is what happens sometimes too, because we know twofold. You know, a lot of our buildings obviously have elevators in them, but, you know, elevators sometimes do break. So, for example, in Music Mass, this happened last semester. I apologize. This time last year, last spring, the elevator went down. And we had a student who needed, her class was on the second floor. There was no way to her to access to get up there. The elevator was totally broken. It was going to be a couple of weeks before it could be fixed. And so we worked with hand in hand with the actual Music Mass teacher and rearranged to have that class in a different room whereby I could get to much easier, and just kind of maneuvered some of that, space it so, you know, if there was a class in that one room, then they could flip upstairs who did not have any kind of difficulties getting there. So it just made it easier on our student. So we just communicate across the board to whomever there is to get there. There are some buildings where there is no elevator, and so what the current modality to that is they communicate that to the professor or the teacher or the department and say, hey, I'm unable to access this to your class or to your office. And then they rearrange their schedule and arrange to meet with them like in a conference room, one-on-one, device in there, and they just, like it's on the first floor, so they can get in and meet with them at that juncture. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you know exactly how many buildings on campus are without elevators?
I do not know exactly how many do not have elevators. Because I would consider some of our other, you know, we need to address upcoming properties that we have purchased. And I don't know every building, what is actually for private use as, you know, for storage, and what is not for public use as well. But there are a few who do not have elevators in them.
In terms of the housing buildings on campus, I know Sevier does not have an elevator.
Sure.
Many is that?
That's not common, but most of them do, depending on the age of the building. In terms of if a student is in need of, and they have a wheelchair, we work hand in hand with housing. We have a great housing office. That what we do is get what we call an ADA room. And so if a student is registered with us, we contact housing and say there's a need for that person to be on the first floor of any housing available. And they they give us that. They give us latitude for that to ensure accessibility across our campus. So when the student, you know, communicates to us there's a need for that, then we obviously, you know, communicate to housing to make sure that, for example, they could be on the second floor of Sevier. Maybe they could be on the second floor of, you know, Castle Heights, one of our newer dorms, Governor's Terrace North, you know, and those buildings over there who've had, you know, accessible housing options or elevator access. So we do work with hand in hand with them. They do a great job with that too.
With the audit, if we do go ahead and get that secured, once that happens, what happens post that?
Well, as I'm on, there's an accessibility committee. I'm not the chairman of the committee. One of our attorneys, Costin Shamble, is the chairman of that committee, and we brought this up. I believe that we need to be get the audit, and then we need to make a strategic plan in place of what can we fix. Is there things that we can fix? You know, what is it that we need to look at to, you know, and get things done? For example, there are some cracks on the sidewalk. On, I'm bad with numbers or names, on College and University there, going by the Arch Building and going down to the new military student building there. The city needs that's city property, so we just need to be in contact with them to get those things fixed. So there's, you know, safety and make sure those things are done adequately. So we need to assess what is our responsibility versus maybe the city of Clarksville's, you know, responsibility, or the county, Montgomery County responsibility. So we need to look at that. So the audit will tell us, we're going to make a strategic plan in play to make sure that we do things to make our campus accessible as much as possible. When that report is done, I will, you know, defer to our, you know, whoever the chairperson is at that time to make that decision. You know, I believe personally we should make that, you know, transparent. But I can't say that, you know, automatically just because I'm not the chairman of the committee at this time. But I believe that we should be able to do that. And Dr. White would obviously get a copy of that. And like I said, she's aware that we're going, and she's approved for us to go down this aisle to get an outside auditor to come in and check our accessibility. she knows that it's important for our campus to be as accessible as possible.
So once you have created a plan,
mm-hmm.
who then looks at it and decides how to make it a reality? And do we have the resources to do that?
Well, absolutely. And dependent upon, I know that's kind of an evasive answer because I don't know what needs to be fixed in terms of whose responsibility is it to fix. You know, we work with our campus architect to ensure that if it's like a building, if it's just a door that needs to be, like a door jamb needs to be fixed, we work with our university architect to ensure that to be done as quick as possible. If it's terms of an elevator, then there's other resources that have to be, you know, taken a look at. And those elevators, you know, we have to look at the financial cost and what that would be, how we could put that elevator in, where it would go. There's structural, you know, changes would have to be looked at as well. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, so we got to look at, you know, is there an elevator shaft that to put one in? Where could one be, you know, developed without interrupting the structure of the building itself? So it just kind of depends on what the need is for each of those buildings to look at.
And so I mentioned at the beginning that this came up in an
mm-hmm.
SGA meeting.
Mm-hmm.
How can SGA meetings or SGA members or students in general
sure.
be active in promoting accessibility on campus?
When they see that a space is not accessible, making their voice be heard is what I could say. You know, there are areas like, I want to say the SOS pantry. We had a student who was unable to enter the SOS pantry with her wheelchair. And now they're making areas so that, like a rampway, so a wheelchair could enter it. So making those voices heard is integral to, because the students are why we're here. You know, we want to serve you as best as we can. And so the more voices, the better. So voice those opinions, voice those through email, through voicemail, through conversation. Always makes a difference.
All right. Well, thank you. That's all.
Awesome deal.
All
right.